That leads us nicely into the next presentation, which is John Dennis, who's going to talk to us about alternative funding for access. John.
Good afternoon, everybody. I've been asked to come and speak to you a little bit about funding and how to do things and so on and so forth. And the history of that, and how I managed to get roped into this sort of thing, was that years ago, Jane Benson, who is now chair of IPRO, Public Rights of Way officer at Bradford Council, liked what I was doing in Keighley. I live in Haworth, just a few miles to the west here. And I think it was one of the first times ever that somebody had actually written in Public Rights of Way as a sports and physical activity resource in any sort of strategy, and she was dead chuffed. And my reward was to get collared to go down to the IPRO conference in Llandrindod Wells in 2008 and give a talk there, and then pay a return visit in Derby just before Christmas. And so I've now turned it into a bit of a roadshow, and I was down in Bristol this time last week doing the same thing. And so I'm now on home territory, more or less. I do a lot of work in Leeds. So here I am. And the starting point, this is going to be hopefully a bit of a challenge for everybody here. The starting point really is to start thinking about what value these sorts of things are, because I come across this, as you'll see, in my life, voluntary and professionally, a whole number of times. But what value rights of way, if we didn't have them, how much would it cost to put them in? And when you think about how unique they are, if you go to the States, if you go to New Zealand, if you go to Europe or whatever it is, they've got nothing like this. How much would it cost to actually put them in? And that, to me, is your starting point. That's your starting point, the value of these fantastic facilities. And then you go from there and say, this is the value that we've got and this is what we want to give. So that's me, a variety of backgrounds. It's sporting related. Sport Keighley I set up about 20 odd years ago in Keighley, voluntarily. I'm part of the Active Bradford Partnership now, developing strategies for cycling, physical activity and active living across Bradford District in particular. I'm chair of Bradford Athletics Network, come on to that in a minute. Chair of City Connect Advisory Group. I was actually chairing that meeting this morning in Bradford. We cycled up part of the new route that's being built there, and there's a big superhighway going between Leeds and Bradford, which I'll come on to. I'm a governor at the University Academy Keighley, so involved in education. I've developed something called a Sport and Charity Research Centre at Bradford University. SKUK is me, my company. That's for when I get paid occasionally. I've been involved in land development. I do environmental impact assessments. Used to lecture on that at Leeds and Bradford universities as well. And I used to work for British Waterways and a variety of other consultancies and so on. So in a sense, I'm coming from a sort of unusual angle perhaps, but I do use rights of way a lot in my everyday life. So the idea is new perspectives, a slightly different way of looking at things. I'm going to use athletics as an example. And this is some work I'm currently doing. So what do you see when you see that? That's actually in Keighley. That's University Academy Keighley, where we've got a fantastic setup and all the rest of it. What do you see there? Is it an exclusive facility that's for serious athletes, that has very strict constraints on numbers? You have to be good before you're allowed on it. And a lot of runners actually think that, let alone people who don't run. Is it open to you? Is it available? Is it something that you would wish to use? Or, if you're a cardiac rehab patient, is it somewhere that's flat, soft, lit, safe, somewhere where you don't end up very far away from where you started, somewhere adjacent to some facilities, somewhere adjacent to parks and so on and so forth, where you can do other things, measurable distances and so on. So the idea is, in that particular piece of work, which is called On Track, which I'm working with England Athletics nationally, is to rebrand, remarket, reappraise running tracks and to open them up into a whole new range of users. And the whole new range of users means, A, you justify the existence of the track, B, you actually raise revenue on it, because the best source of revenue anytime is people wanting to use your facilities one way or another. And if you can carry on doing that and encourage the direct uses and the ancillary uses as well, then the public tend to speak with their feet in all sorts of ways. So that's the sort of way that looking at this particular issue. So it's new perspectives, and that's a public footpath just above me. That's just below Stanbury. Stanbury's on the left there, and Haworth and Bronte Country, and we all run around, for those of you who don't know this area, we run around naked shouting Cathy and Heathcliff over all the rights of ways there every weekend, usually around about 2 o'clock, non-foggy days. Which we don't have any, by the way. I've been in Bradford this morning. It's glorious sunshine in Bradford, honestly. It's really great weather out that way. So, new perspectives. What do you actually see there? What is it that you can see? And I did a very, very unofficial and very non-statistical straw poll amongst people that I know to see what happened when I said right of way. And these were the sorts of range of responses that I got when they came back. Number one was full of bureaucracy, top left, maps, definitive maps, can't do this, can't do that, might be able to do this, so on and so forth. In terms of cycling, I'm a cyclist, make no apology for that, constantly being told you can, you can't, you do this, you don't that, do that, you can't ride on the pavement, stop, and so on. Overwhelmingly, there was a response that it's all for old people roving the countryside in packs, terrorising local farmers and other users and so on. All sorts of stories about blocked ways and things that weren't quite right and farmers and all the rest. Wild animals roving again around the fields. That's not the old people, that's the four-legged kind. Somebody actually said we don't need rights of way at all because we've got right to roam, and so we can go anywhere we like, can't we? So that was an interesting one. Obviously broken down stuff, expensive, again to the image. And that bottom left-hand corner is a project I'm working on down in Cardiff, which is Cardiff Point and Cardiff International Sports Village. And if those of you know Cardiff Bay, Cardiff Point sticks out into the bay at the conjunction of the Taff and the Ely. It's on the Welsh coastal footpath. It's actually on that route. You can ride straight up into the mountains, not very far away. And it's a really fantastic site for what I might call active travel, walking, cycling, and doing all that sort of thing. But if you talk to the disciplines involved with that sort of a development, the architects, the engineers, the project managers, the quantity surveyors, and so on and so forth, very little awareness of the value of those things to the people who are going to live there. And it's really interesting that I fought tooth and nail when we first got a brochure out about Cardiff Point, because there's nice housing, and we've just opened an international ice arena, and there's a whitewater rafting area, and there's a international swimming pool. The first brochure that we got talked all about how you could drive there from the M4. There was nothing about walking, there was nothing about cycling. The World Half Marathon is going to take place there in a couple of weeks' time. Mo Farah is going to be running around there, and the BBC are going to be filming it. These guys didn't know any of that. In fact, they'd said, oh, they'll shut the roads and that'd be a bit of a pain in the arse, won't it? So it's a matter of really sort of trying to get across to people that it's all about building houses and doing the value and doing everything else, but people are going to live there and they're going to want to walk, cycle and do all these other things as well. And so these things are assets. And they're assets worth an absolute fortune, because if you don't have them, it costs an awful lot to put them in. So that was just a little example of that. And of course, in terms of that awareness and perception, you start thinking about who are the different stakeholders that you have to start to talk to in the range. And I think that the previous speakers, Anthony and Sue, were excellent there in terms of sort of expressing the range of people that you have to start reaching out to in all walks, not just rights of way, but in anything. To get anything done now, you need to be talking to a whole range of different people. Decision makers in the top left, teenagers. If anybody's got the answer to how to speak to teenagers, then please send me the suggestions very, very rapidly. Maybe you just text them, I don't know. Shoppers, commuters, mums and dads on the run to school, kids. What do they perceive? What do they know? What do they think of? What do they know it? Is it something about, coming out for the previous presentation, something that struck me as something that is a bit of a mantra on City Connect, is the art of the possible. Do they actually know what they can achieve if, for example, you go out there and do it? Because often people don't. They think, oh, we won't ever get that. So it's a matter of thinking about what could be achieved. And a good example, just a little example from Keithley. I was asking some young lads whether they did any sport in Keithley, a young Asian lad, and he said, no, I don't do any, none whatsoever. He's about 15. And I said, nothing at all. No, I don't do anything. I said, haven't you even got a bike? He said, yeah, I've got a bike. I said, have you got is it a mountain bike? He said, yeah, it's a mountain bike. I said, have you ever ridden off-road? Sweeping my hand majestically around with Ilkley and Rumbles Moor in the background and the South Pennines and the Bronte Moorlands. And he said, what, you mean on Morrison's car park? because these people have never been asked to raise their eyes above the rooftops and actually see what they've got around them. They've never been told, because lots and lots of people are completely unaware of these networks and of these rights of way and these things that are just a fantastic resource and free. When I told him they were free, he couldn't believe it. And this little story is an extension of that. I was asked to help deal, not deal, no, that's the wrong word actually when you hear what I'm going to say. I was helped to help with drug abuse in Keithley. So now you know why that was the wrong word. But I made a fortune out of it. No. And somebody suggested, could we have a cricket match or a football match? And I thought, that's not really going to cut the mustard, really, with some of these testosterone-fueled young lads. So we did something called Dare You. And one of the things was to do a mountain bike challenge. This is just on Oxenoak Moor, just behind Howarth. And it just so happens in my running club, we've got Karen Ballantyne, who's the ex-world downhill mountain bike champion. She's 5'0" and mad as a complete hatter. As you have to be in order to be able to do that. And the idea was that these Asian lads had to beat her down the hill on a mountain bike. And of course they thought, well, a woman, phew, easy. They never got anywhere near her. It was supposed to be an hour-long session. It lasted 3 hours as they tried determinedly to beat Karen down the hill. And then the bonus, which don't ask about health and safety risk assessments or anything like this, just don't ask. She bundled them in a Land Rover and drove them up there, did a U-turn at the top and drove them down at top speed. They were bouncing around like peas in a pod. And the outcome of that was one of the best things I've ever achieved in any sort of capacity, because one of the lads said, I'll never diss a woman driver again. So an active theme to this presentation. And I'm just going to start with active living. And something that sort of goes to the heart of what's going on now is we've got a new strategy for sport and physical activity in this country. I don't know if you know. DCMS have just released this just before Christmas, and Sport England are now out to consultation. But some significant things happening here. The concept of instead of active people, you're going to have active lifestyles. You're going to have people being measured on their activity and so on. And there is a huge drive to do that. Most notably in the news today, I think that some of these new towns and new active cities and everything else are coming through, and people are trying to design around doing this sort of thing. That's now, instead of 14 plus, is going down to years 5 plus. So there'll be money coming down for involving kids in stuff like this from Sport England and other users, and encouragement of multi-use, multi-sport, multi-activity centres. Very interested to hear the stuff in Lancashire there, where you've got the rugby and everything else, and other reasons for going than just perhaps doing a walk or so on. And that's, they're becoming increasingly important and so on. So there's a whole thing around active living, and as I say, I'm involved with the Active Bradford Partnership in Bradford, and we have health, we have the professional sports clubs, we have social services, we have voluntary groups, we have the disability forum and so on and so forth, all working together now on producing a new strategy in response to this and to take it forward. And people are constantly talking to each other now. That's really important. Something I did at Keithley years ago was to create something called Keithley Integrated, which was something around the transport system. This is what first attracted Jane to me, and we had walkways and cycle and various other ways of doing that. And I do have to mention here, because I got told off at IPRO for not mentioning horses, but the area where we are is absolutely steeped in equestrian ways and so on. And so it's all very much a part of that whole sort of active living, active design, active travel and all the rest of it. It's just ironic, of course, that the towpaths, which were designed for horses, now can't be used for them, but such is life, we do our best. And it's all also reflected in Sport England. I've sat on the national active design type of approach with Sport England, where they're looking at ways of not just creating facilities, but also active ways of getting in between them and the infrastructure that is required to do that. We've got four of the first what are called green line miles now in Bradford. These are green dots on the pavement at about 2.5 metre intervals. These are urban routes by and large, although we're going to get a fifth one in Keithley, which I think might be a little bit more rural. But the idea is to get people walking, people using routes, using ginnels and alleyways and different ways of trying to sort of access places in the towns and so on, in order to get people active, obviously, but also to help them to understand and even begin to become more legible around their town centres and so on. Because a lot of people, I find now, with sat navs and everything else, just do not know where they can walk, where they can go, in that sort of urban sense. So that was about 30,000 quid. Active events and active tourism, huge. I mean, anybody who's come from around here will know what a fantastic weekend the the grand depart was back in 2014. My lad works in a restaurant up in Main Street in Haworth, and I booked the entire restaurant for the day, and I have to say it was one of the best days of my life. It was just absolutely fantastic. They just came up there and the whole place went ballistic, and it's quite good actually. And I might say this, because I said this in Bristol, and I'll risk saying it here, because Yorkshire folk are pretty dour and you know, miserable buggers a lot of the time, actually, to be blunt. And you saw more articulation on that day and that weekend, I think, than I've ever seen for a long, long time. And the Tour de Yorkshire has done the same thing. So we have an annual tour now, and people are going out. They might not be interested in cycling at all, but it's a good excuse. I can't get to the supermarket. I can't go and see Granny. So I'm going to get my deck chair out in the front, get a few beers, and watch these idiots come past on a bicycle. And it's grand. Reek grand, as they say. And so that's really created this whole atmosphere, and there's a legacy involved with that. And then you've got all these sort of, you know, we're surrounded by national parks and all the rest of it. And you start thinking about the stunning scenery, and you start to think about, well, what would be all of this offer without rights of way? What would a national park be without rights of way? And again, you start getting back to the feeling this is really valuable. And this message needs to go out to the people who are making decisions that this is really, really important. Not just for in themselves, but to give people a break from everyday living. And In a strategic sense, people are starting to get together now. As we start to go towards devolution, Northern Powerhouses, LEPs, and so on and so forth, organisations, key organisations, are starting to work together in partnerships to start creating really a mass of message making. I think that's something very much to tune into and contribute to. I won't go through all of that, but you can see the sort of things. You know that when you've got people visiting, you are going to have an economic bonus, and that there will be investment there in order to keep that visitor offer good. And as I say, I live in Haworth, and to be honest, I know Americans, I know Canadians, they cannot believe how poorly we present Haworth, really. You know, it's just a few, I hope no one's from Haworth here, but you know, just a few shops up Main Street and have a walk up to Bronte Bridge. If that was in America, that'd be completely different. If you've ever been to Yosemite or anywhere like that, they just do it. And that's what we, I think, got to do in part of the way. So that's in terms of active tourism. One of the big things that gets people using rights away, in my experience, is charity events and active events that bring people together. So there's a sort of social cohesion element about it. But one of the biggest activators for physical activity in this country is charity. People will do things for charity they wouldn't dream of doing in everyday lives, and they'll do it for all sorts of reasons. This Sunday coming, Mother's Day, we have a big cake, 10K in Keighley, which is for Sue Ryder Care in Manlands, and that's the run on the right. That links all the parks in Keighley and uses footpaths and bridleways and ginnels and everything else to link them as well. So it's a fairly unique course, and you get people there running around saying, I've lived here for 70 years and I never even knew this was here, or I've never been in this park, or actually I haven't dared to go in this park. So it's a bit of reclaiming our own infrastructure back, which is really good. On the bottom left, Three Peaks Walk, Yorkshire Three Peaks Walk. It's I don't think that track existed before the charity thing started, and now they've just worn it round. But it's just incredible the number of people who are out there who wouldn't normally be out there and who are experiencing for the first time what this infrastructure can do and where it can take you. And the same with cycling and, of course, horse riding. Sue Ryder do horse riding as well, horse riding events and so on, all of which use the fantastic scenery in and around where we live. Active travel, I've mentioned City Connect and the thing I've been there today, but urban context I particularly wanted to emphasise here, because a lot of stuff about travel is about commuting, and it's about going to school, and it's about doing those daily trips and so on. There's a lot of effort going into that. We're going to have our first cycling and walking investment strategy soon, in the next month or two. So that's really important, moving Britain ahead. So the rights of way, to me, are a key part of that. We've got on the right there, not come out very well, but that's a pedestrian charter for Bradford that was written in 2005, actually, as a result of having somebody from Brisbane come over to the council for a while and telling us how good Brisbane was. So we blatantly copied that and put Bradford in place of everywhere it said Brisbane, and now we've got our own. But that is now going forward into the single transport plan, which for West Yorkshire is due out later on this year. So this whole idea now about, again, saying, I am allowed to walk. I think it's an interesting thing there, because we're talking about rights of way. We have a right to go along their way. We have a right to walk. We don't necessarily have to have a right to wait for loads of people in boxes to go past us at top speed. And we certainly don't have to, the right to sort of have to go around them when they've left those boxes for us to sort of manoeuvre around while they just do something else. And that's a lot of, lots of different thinking about the art of the possible again, which is coming through in design, which, as I say, I've been in a meeting this morning to talk about that. And that's a little Gidley Keithley, which we use on the 10K route. Some of them are not particularly scenic, some of them are. They're all fantastic heritage stuff, and it gets people out. We've done historic walks and all sorts of things around the route as well. I've mentioned City Connect, it's a huge investment. It says over 20 million, it's nearer 30 or 40, maybe 50, 60 million pounds in West Yorkshire alone. That's part of the City Cycles, Cycle City's ambition grant. But the big thing about that, this is the West Yorkshire Combined Authority, Leeds, Bradford, Wakefield, Calderdale and Kirklees. Big unitary authorities getting together and working together, the design engineers working together, policy working together, and one of the biggest drivers of this is business change. How you change the way you deliver what you do and how you measure what is delivered as being fit for purpose. Really important. How do you make it fit for purpose? And that seems to be a revelation to many of the people working in those environments, and I think is a big signal for change in the way that we move things forward. And again, worth being involved in. Single transport plan, I've mentioned that, and it's moving towards a network, and you need to think about these networks at different levels. That's based on the rail map, but that's actually a cycling map of West Yorkshire, how you can start to get routes between cities and so on. And as you focus in, you start to look at closer and closer networks, and you see that the rights of way start to form an integral part of each of those areas and places. And it's the idea that you start to get a network across this district and then across the country, which Sustrans, of course, have done very well as part of their national cycle network. And again, at strategic level, big organisations are coming together to talk gradually about how to exchange ideas, exchange resources, share resources, complete bids together, make cases towards local enterprise partnerships, to the government, to George Osborne, sometimes directly, just to say this is part, and this can form part of the Northern Powerhouse. And you say, well, how does that work? You know, is this part of the Northern? Well, because what we need to do here, Bradford, Leeds, all the northern cities you read about every day, is we need to retain talent and we need to attract talent and we need to bring them to these places and say, we want to live here, we want to work here, we want to generate wealth here, and at the same time, we want to have a good time and a high quality of life. And that's where it all fits together and the case that's being made ever more strongly. Environment is a key thing. We've just had the West Yorkshire Air Quality Strategy, which suggests that it's pretty poor in most of the urban centres. I put this one in because it's just nice to see that you're joining up air quality, transport and health and beginning to join up all these different strategies and strands. And that's something, of course, that comes out of environmental impact assessment on a project-by-project basis, but this is a more strategic type of approach and really, really important in terms of making sure that we retain what we've got. We had a party of Chinese just over a year ago or so, and we asked the one was a top cycling coach and another was a head of Henan, which has a population of 90 million, Henan province, and we asked them, what do you like most about England? And the chap said fresh air, and the cycling coach said she hadn't seen a rainbow since she was 12 because of the air pollution in China. So, it, you know, when you're moaning about a gale coming off Bronte Moor, it doesn't make you think maybe we're luckier than some. So, really important. We, you know, it's a big area that needs to be done. And again, key organisations, Natural England and Environment Agency and others, working together to sort of make the case for that environmental protection. And education. I said I was involved in education. What do kids think? What do they know? What are they aware of? What do they perceive? What do they expect? What do they look forward to? And how are we selling that message in terms of our education and so on? More and more of them are sitting in there doing English and maths and not moving about at all. I think it's really important that Ofsted is lobbied and encouraged and whatever to make active living and all of this different exploring, expeditions, navigating, orienteering, riding, whatever it is, an integral part of what we're telling the kids. Because it's really interesting that when you talk to them, and I talk to my young athletes down at the track, and you say, have you come down that footpath, or have you come down that way, they wouldn't be able to tell you. We once put audience survey maps in a lot of doctors' waiting rooms in Keighley, actually so that when you were waiting for your appointment, you could look on the map and decide where you wanted to go. Because a lot of people could be very near to their school, but the kids would tend to follow the car route back home because they wouldn't know. Either wouldn't know or they'd be told it was unsafe to go back on a right of way, which is pretty outrageous, really. So, what value rights of way? They repeat the question. If we didn't have them then, how much would it cost and how much more of a case can we make to push that forward? There have been some studies done, and I'm not going to dwell on those. This was for a Powers for Communities programme, some of you might be aware of. That's not CBR, that should be BCR, benefit cost ratio, but 4.52 to 1 is all right. That was just three local projects across the country, but it shows that the value is in there, and from our previous speakers, I think the value is very much in there, and it's interesting to explore ways of eking that out and making it clear that these are good things in straight economic terms. Obviously, the National Cycle Network that Sustrans have put together, which I think is a fantastic piece of work and a real benefit to this nation, they've clearly done that, justified the costs, matched the funds, and done all these things. So there are examples of how things have been developed and worked on, and that can be expanded upon, hopefully, and increased. So looking at things anew and exploring the resulting possibilities, and this is the challenge then, what is the rights of way offer to all of these things? What do rights of way offer to health, education, environment, active travel, sport and leisure, all of it? How do you frame yourself? How do you push them forward? How do you make sure that they are seen in their right place in terms of all those things? Because all of those things are going on at a massive pace in this country, and so it's important that the rights of way and the elements that go with it, the activities that go with it, are seen. So the thing I'm again doing with England Athletics is looking at different ways of measuring, different ways of using people who use public rights of way in order to help, contribute, report. We've just done something on the flooding. We had some terrible floods here over Christmas, and athletes are now reporting back. Runners, walkers and joggers are reporting back damage to footpaths and so on. And there's an awful natural resource that can be used in a voluntary capacity in order to help and improve these things. So, just to conclude, there are ways, there are active ways, they're worth a bob or two, I think, and they're well worth not only preserving but enhancing and increasing. And I'll shut up there. Thank you very much.
John, thank you very much. Chiming an awful lot with some of the things I was trying to say earlier about how we need to do things differently, and I think there's some fantastic ideas there.